Welcome to MERS Monday, the official podcast of the MERS Political Newsletter. I'm Kyle Malin, joined by Abigail Walls, John Roerink, and Lauren Gibbons. A little later, Darwin Giles, the ethnic vice chair of the Michigan Republican Party, will be joining us. And he's going to be talking about the Flint water situation. Let's tee it up with this question, John. Why should people who get money from the state's general fund care about the Flint water crisis?
Because it's a huge unknown, and it's the very reason that the rating agencies last week came out and kind of took a look at Michigan. These are the folks that are paid to study the financial stability of the state, and they've concluded there's a huge unknown out there. There's a hole in the bottom of the bucket, if you will. And it's leaking water, and it's leaking money, and we don't know what it's going to cost to get it fixed.
And when you say we don't know, Abigail, what it's going to cost, I mean, there are a lot of different costs out there.
Well, that's true. I think just about every Michigan agency has some line item that touches on the Flint situation, whether it's how we're going to have to deal with schools in the future, community health. I mean, it's going to be a drain on everybody for a while.
And then we've also got the infrastructure costs, right? I mean, where does it stop, Lauren? Do we stop with just doing infrastructure for the city of Flint, or what kind of programs do establish for other urban cities that have?
Well, I think part of the conversation coming out of Flint pretty quickly, other cities were saying, well, we have some lead pipes too. Could this happen to us? And I think part of the reason that the state started looking into it was to see if there was a way that state funding could be used towards putting together an infrastructure plan as we go forward. Or at least that's why they said they started the Flint water hearings at the state level, just to try and get an idea of how this could be fixed in the future. So that could be, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars if every city in Michigan got a little chunk of money here.
I mean, this budget season, we're even talking about more cuts to revenue sharing, which is how cities pay for infrastructure projects, big part of it.
So we've got cities then that would have to do some kind of bonding proposal to get some of their lead pipes out, unless they did it kind of like how the Board of Water and Light did it, which is just gradual over 13 years, we're going to come over and pop out your lead pipe in your street, you know, or whatever piping that you had down there. All right, so the hole on the bottom of the bucket, John, that isn't just for this year, though. I mean, we've got all of these civil suits that are lining up out there.
No, it could go on for decades. It could go on for a long time. You've got to worry about the issue that, you know, lead causes cognitive difficulties in children. You've got to track that. What does that mean going out forward as far as the state's commitment, what the state should provide to the citizens of Flint, the children of Flint, as far as future services? We don't know what that's going to cost.
Exactly. And so you've got all of these lawsuits that are piling up, both in the Genesee County Court and the federal court. And at a certain point, you've got to believe that they're all going to get piled into something somewhere, right? And so then you got this big, massive settlement. The state doesn't have insurance to cover said settlement, right? And so now you've got to take it out of somewhere. And all these settlements ultimately all come out of the general fund, right? You know, Durant settlement, we've got the women's prison issue. All these settlements come out of the general fund, right?
Yes, they all come out of the general fund. Just like a big pot of soup, we got a ladle out for every one of them. And we're going to be ladling for a while.
If you're getting money from the general fund, and so you've got cities, Abigail already mentioned the cities, they're looking for more funding. We've got the roads funding package out in the future, that's supposed to be another general fund commitment, right? We've got Medicaid expansion as a general fund commitment.
Higher education.
Higher education hasn't been funded properly for quite some time. And then we also have the Target Insight poll that was done last week from the Insight Institute.
Which basically showed that residents don't think that we're investing what we need to be investing in education. So there's a whole other area of spending we can look at.
So a lot of different holes in the general fund budget at a time when the Flint water thing is going to come pouring out. It. Joining us here today is Darwin Giles. He's ethnic vice chair of the Michigan Republican Party. Thanks for making the trip to Lansing today. I appreciate it, Darwin.
Thank you. Thank you.
So some of our listeners may not know, but you are native of Flint.
Correct. Flint is my hometown.
So
born
you
were raised there.
All right. So when did you actually move out of the city?
I moved out of Flint probably some five years ago. It was when I officially moved. I finished my undergraduate degree. And from there, I made the transition to Oakland County.
So give us your perspective on what's happening there right now with the water crisis.
Well, right now you have a complete crisis, of course, obviously. But I think there's some systemic problems even before a lot of this that I believe has caused a big problem. I don't believe it's just the governor's fault. I don't believe he just intentionally wanted to poison a city full of black kids. However, this did happen on a governor's watch. He's admitted those things as well. But previously, even before this, just given some of the background, myself and Dave Ijima even was in Flint a year prior before it even went public. I have been dealing with Flint and the city hall issues and a council member that actually exposed this light years before it even became a popular subject. I even offered to launch coalitions and initiatives in Flint that was ignored and was not really listened. So this issue now, I think, is a result of failed cronyism. And I would want to help Governor Snyder to understand he's being accused of being a crony capitalist. And as long as he's viewed as being a crony capitalist, there's no way he's going to convince the public that he's innocent of the situation and that it wasn't maliciously intended. And I do believe it was a governmental failure. And I think it's a result of big government. But I also know that there was ways of preventing this, being that he's from corporate America. I think he would understand when you launch an initiative like this, it's very unorthodox and very witty and it's different. It's very important to oversee that very, very closely. So if he's guilty of everything, you know, the thing is he's being accused of everything he's probably not guilty of. And the things he's guilty of, he's not being accused of. So I think that people need to really look at this for really what it is.
What is it?
I believe personally you could be safe to say Governor Snyder probably intentionally didn't carry this initiative out personally and closely enough. Therefore, he's going to be seen as a person who didn't care. So if he's guilty of something, it's truly because he didn't care. I don't necessarily think that made him a racist. I don't think that necessarily means he personally tried to poison individuals. I just think he was a freshman governor coming in. He's from corporate America. I don't think he's ever even realized how bad the problems were here with the bureaucratic system in Michigan across the board, both Democrat and Republicans. And this seems to be a crony capitalist attempt that was failed. I mean, that basically failed. But had it even worked, it may have even brought a lot of good. I even have a lot of African-American activists who voted and they advocated to make sure that we switched over to our own water source. So it's a lot of facts. It's a lot of research. It's a lot of things you have to know. If you were on the ground as myself some 18 years ago, you would have understood more of the background politically there and really what's going on.
Well, now, you mentioned failed crony capitalism a few times. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is when you have a system, well, first of all, let's go back to the emergency manager law, which the voters voted down. When you look at these patterns throughout the state, and again, I want him to know, Governor Snyder, that he's really being seen as a crony capitalist. It's very important because as long as he's viewed this way, he will never gain the support of the public. It doesn't matter who you hire, what attorneys you have. But to say that that was criminally, you know,
negligent,
you know, that's up for debate right now. But I don't think intentionally that that's what he intended to do.
But people in Flint believe that he's just a crony capitalist.
Well, even more so, there was people who supported him in Flint. And so you got to understand from both sides. But basically, you have right now a system in a city that's been plagued with issues far, far beyond this within City Hall. You have the City Hall that was raided multiple times by the FBI by the former mayor. If there's anyone that really should be indicted, it's the former mayor, Dane Walling helped advocate this whole initiative. He was someone that should have fought and stood up for the city of Flint. So when the Democrats just yell Snyder, they have to be completely honest. They watched their own Democratic governor or mayor advocate for these things with the emergency manager. I mean, they were like buddy-buddy. I mean, honestly, they were like one in a marriage. They actually was advocating this together.
Advocating the switch.
The switch over to the FWA pipeline and that whole initiative to bring in partial water from the Flint River, which initially led to the primary water source.
And it was because of the high water bills, right?
Well, and that's another thing. The mayor was pushing those high water rates. And the reason I say crony capitalism is because we all know, I mean, this thing has been so manipulated from the governor's office. He has to look at this and acknowledge the fact that we all understand the bailout in Detroit. And when you see the connection to that, the push to get Flint off of their water source onto another source, that the pipeline hadn't even been developed. And also the piping for Flint was sold off. Those are indicators of crony capitalism in a lot of different ways. But except it wasn't just the Republican Party. It was both parties, or at least both representatives of these parties, Democrat and Republican, working to help fund and push these initiatives that were definitely against the people. They were against the people's will. But again, back to the emergency manager laws, we voted those down. The people voted those that law and that legislation down, and they later pushed it. And it's similar with the gas tax. My only reason for bringing these things up is not to gain support for Snyder or the Democratic Party, but we have to take a look at these patterns and how these patterns has caused these systemic issues with government. And this is a huge problem.
What would it take for Governor Snyder to shed the crony capitalist image among Flint residents? Because he's been trying, and it's pretty clear
he hasn't publicly denounced it. And he has to show. I've listed a plan, and I've gotten this plan to individuals like the lieutenant governor and other individuals who I've talked to personally. The problem is they called me after, when it's nearly too late, when they should have been supporting these initiatives beforehand.
What kind of initiative?
But first of all, you need to have an ethnic initiative in Flint that's going to be geared towards mentorship and governmental development. You just have to have it. We have to put in place trust and integrity. And that may not come from the governor's office because of the issues, but there are leaders who will stand up for both the people and I think both political interests to get that done. I have a group of leaders that's willing, both Democrats and Republicans and independents, because my stance, I believe, is an independent. I'm right in the middle of this mess and I can't take either side, but I have to show both sides where they're wrong. And so for myself, he has to publicly denounce crony capitalism. I mean, really, he has to do that. He has to understand that there's individuals in Flint that hasn't worked a job their entire life. Young people my age never worked a job, never. They've never been to college, they've never finished school, and most of them have felony records or other things, and some of them for not even violent crimes. If he, as the governor, could create a program to help people get their records expunged, if he can help individuals who have tax issues and debts, he has to show that the system can work for the average people. And until he does that, it's not going to work. He's used the system to benefit the political elite and the wealthy. We can use Bobby Shostak, for an example. I like Bobby Shostak. I've worked with Bobby. I've worked with individuals across on the Democratic Party. When Bobby Shostak was running the Michigan GOP, I was able to go into Detroit and help launch the Detroit office. We were able to sit down and talk. They knew me. I knew him. And it was no political issues. They would listen. We don't seem to have that right now with the Michigan GOP. There seems to just be more and more political elites and wealthy elites running things. And it's just not buying in. You can't hire experts to get you out of that perception because the relationships genuinely are not there.
It sounds like you're frustrated. I mean, you're the ethnic vice chair of the Republican Party. How do you think that they're handling this?
Well, that's the thing. I think going into this, and I think me and Rana have spoken, and we've kind of put our minds together due to the crisis on our hands now. But my budget was 50% cut off. I mean, there was events I launched and developed that I was taken off of for political purposes, not for any real beneficial reason.
Give us an example.
Arts Beats and Eats was in a program in which
Arts Beats and Eats.
It was an outreach program. I was supposed to be over this, and I was supposed to coordinate it from A to Z. It came out of my budget. Not only was I, before the event started, told I wasn't going to be the person hosting it. My name wasn't on it. On the contract. I mean, it was just political games and schemes and you know, to keep power and control. That form of governing is old, and it's going to give place for socialism. They're going to launch socialism or communism, whatever form of you want to call this, for this. Bernie Sanders won Michigan. It's a reason for this. Crony capitalism in all forms have to be denounced, and we have to come together as people and build bipartisan coalitions. But the people running these attempts and saying these things are not living these principles, so they don't have any credibility.
What was this program?
It was an outreach program. I've written probably three programs, and I think I've submitted probably two, or at least one that I know for sure, and it hasn't gotten the full funding and things of that nature. But pretty much outreach. Outreach has been my key. That's what I've known. And right now, with this water crisis in Flint, Governor Snyder has pretty much made that impossible to recruit new Republicans, because they are only seen as for like the 1% or 2%, the wealthy elites. And there's a way of taming that and denouncing that so that we can really come forward, I would think, as a government of people that can represent everybody. And I can name, again, names of individuals who I have and leaders in Flint who are able to talk to the other side. I mean, I helped get Karen Weaver elected. I endorsed her. This is very unconventional as a Republican ethnic vice chair. Now, she's not a Republican. She's not really a Democrat. She's more of an independent. She's more of a moderate candidate. She's not a politician. But the way the games have started to play, it's given nobody but Hillary Clinton a perfect opportunity to have and build a relationship with her that no one else has taken advantage of. And that's sad, because I know Karen Weaver will sit down with other leaders, but they're not there. They're not even willing to talk to her. Only one candidate has reached out to her. This is the same pattern that I've realized and I'm witnessing throughout the Michigan GOP and other parts. I mean, this just has to stop. We have to have an inclusive and diverse government and party.
Do you think that the Republican Party is being genuine in trying to reach out through African-Americans?
Not without having African-American leaders. Again, I can say names of who have represented the values of the platform of the Republican Party, which most Americans would probably agree with if they've seen them work in action. However, we've only seen examples of crony capitalism. But these leaders, like Latoya Pinton, Brenda Battle Jordan, a lot of these individuals have been overlooked. Even myself as an elected official have not been giving the actual resources. And we haven't had one ethnic press release since this whole issue. This is an ethnic crisis. Governor Snyder has hired individuals. I mean, I work for one of the best public relations firm. I think I know a PR firm that could do better than the firm he has, which is McGann Group, TMG Strategies. They actually handled the General Motors crisis. And I know these people, but they won't talk to the right people. Mm-hmm. So they're spinning their wheels. They're spinning their wheels, and it's not. And it's going to bring everybody down that's ever did anything positive for the Republican Party.
MRP put out a press release a couple of weeks ago about political party hubs in Detroit, a website for Detroit Republicans. I mean, how do you view this kind of outreach?
I mean, honestly, I know those individuals, and this is not a personal attack against them, but it's special interests. I mean, these are individuals that works very closely with only a certain group of people, and they don't even have the relationships throughout the community.
Is
I know
this
that
window
for a fact.
Dressing?
You can say that. At least I've heard that called that, which is one reason why Linda Lee was put out of office, because she was accused of that. So, you know, you can't build an office in Detroit without genuine supporters of Detroit. I've visited this office. You barely ever have anybody from the community there. It's more political than anything else. And I told them they, if they were serious about making a real ethnic outreach, they would do four offices strategically at the same time: Pontiac, Detroit, Flint, and Saginaw. That's the plan. If they don't do that, and they have to be in the marketplace, not the political arena, they have to reach the everyday people. I can't name you how successful we've done things as far as outreach, but they don't have a party to go to.
So do you get kind of the impression that we've got the Republicans who put the effort forward to really kind of connect with African Americans, and then you got the Democratic Party, just taken African Americans for granted for so many years that they're almost callous toward them?
Well, Tavis Smiley even said this, you know, Democrats has been voting, or black people has been voting for Democrats for 10 years. And what has it really gotten? African Americans. Now, this is Tavis Smiley, someone who is not a Republican, who said this. So when you look at that, you can say that. But one thing you can also say is that the Democratic Party believes in bringing up new leaders. I can't tell you how many leaders they've brung up in Flint, threatened by the initiatives I've had there. They're willing to go out and pull people in, and it just becomes one big party with the Democratic Party. So we don't have that type of camaraderie and teamwork. We just don't have it. And that is the shame. It's just a shame that this has happened like this, and we don't work with each other better.
Do you think, because we've seen this at the national level, do you think some of this is a genuine lack of knowledge of how to go about making investments in new types of communities?
That is a very good statement. I believe Rance Priebus is the wrong person to run the RNC. not just because he had an issue with Dave Ijema. People say I favor Dave Ijema, but the truth of the matter, he isn't even educated on urban culture. And you can tell that by his policies and his strategic alliances and what he's done. Those are the type of things. In fact, look at Donald Trump. He's went out and hired the best conservative African-American leaders to represent his campaign. This has never been done. Half of these people were waiting to get a ticket with the GOP, and they were never, ever really allowed to function and to flourish. We just did a five city empowerment tour with Reverend C.E.O. Bryant. And this is more of the libertarian wing through Freedom Works. Libertarians understand you have to get out there or you're spinning your wheels. And they just don't seem to do it. They don't seem to have it. I think it's a negative to have a lot of Caucasian men or women who don't understand the culture, who don't understand the cities, who don't understand and never lived in these areas, running these campaigns, running the establishment, so to speak, in the political machine, because they don't have the insight. But again, this is politics in everyday business. This is how it works. And this is why we lost 3 to 4 presidential campaigns since. I mean, it's terrible. I watched how Obama campaigned on the East Coast. I've seen how he did things. I've seen how he was not the establishment pick. You got to understand, he beat out the Clintons, and America voted for him twice. Mm-hmm. And it's a reason for that. Beyond his policies, it's the fact he gave people a different, breath of fresh air to some degree. He was different. He was an outsider, like Trump. Well, they say he's an outsider, but you have to understand he also was unconventional. It was through media. It was through having iconic celebrities. It was through everything but really politics, pretty much, that got him elected twice. I mean, people, that you have to cater to the people. And if you don't do that, you're not going to get the influence you want. And it can't just be around election season. It's the only time people really go out and try to get the ethnic vote. And the investments are not there. So to answer your question, yes, it is a lack of understanding, a lack of knowing how to do that. But when you have an individual like myself, Reverend C.E.O. Bryant, and other leaders, the establishment won't even work with these conservative leaders because it's about a power struggle.
You mentioned something pretty interesting regarding Karen Weaver and how Hillary Clinton is one of the only major, one of the only major figures to come in, reach out, and really try to build something for Flint. But Clinton lost the election. do you see Clinton like continuing to maintain a presence here, and just because she reached out there, but Michigan didn't carry her?
Well, that's, again, the numbers are really show. When the actual general election come, I don't believe that's a real indication of where she is as far as the campaign. But as far as the African American vote, they're behind her. I mean, from what I've seen, they're with her. And a lot of these people are just there again because they've never had relationships with anyone else. And that's the truth. It's not a racist issue. It's not a nobody has cared enough to build these relationships genuinely. And just case in point, instead of working through the leaders that's already put in the hours and the time building the Republican brand, Brenda Battle Jordan, Latoya Penn, and other individuals, you have strategists that's worked with the governor who will try to bring up a particular group of people and launch them into Flint and just create their own political movement right under the nose of everybody that's already been politically. I mean, that's exploitation. I mean, that's just you co-opting, a political movement, or at least attempting to. And that's wrong. I mean, how can you just go into an area, you don't live there, you haven't had no experience there, and you just want, hey, come follow me? I mean, that's wrong. And this is the perception of the Republican Party. They will pull the rug from up out of you, from up under you, and they won't really genuinely support you. And I hate to say, I've seen these patterns. These are legitimate accusations that they need to defend, because this is the truth. And it's not a Democrat or Republican thing. They just operate differently. And it's kind of the same. People don't know how much you know until they know how much you care. So as long as compassion is seen to drive the Democratic Party, and we don't care enough to show people how to fish, teach them how to fish, instead of just, okay, yeah, limited government. But what does that mean to the average person? Okay, free market enterprise. Well, what does that mean? Have you came and taught any seminar at all on small business in Flint? No. Nobody's done these things. I've advocated this. I can show you plans, email. They don't do it. So they don't practice their principles to people that really would follow and get on board.
Darwin, we got to get out of here, yeah. But before we let you go, you still consider yourself a Republican?
I can still consider myself a Republican, but I'm a Christian first. In fact, I would consider myself now moving forward towards an independent because I can't get in between both parties. Both parties are seeming to cause a lot of issues, and I've tried to be fair. I've shared things from a Democratic point. I've shared things from the Republican side because I want the people to see an objective from both sides. That's what I want people to see. And more importantly, and Flint has been dominated by one party for so long. I want people to know what Republicans are. I want them to know what Libertarians are. I want people to get involved, period. But if I ran for anything in Flint, it would be as an independent. It wouldn't be as a Republican or a Democrat. Because, and I don't care if I lost, I just want to create a culture of being in between, being moderate. Because you have one extreme or the other, you tend to not get any real results. And that's really what I believe from a Christian standpoint, balance and moderation is all about. You know, but I just would like to say also, there's things that Governor Snyder can do to prove he's not a crony capitalist. And I've talked about some of those things, having the fund as your expungement programs, economic programs. And I also can say, again, the failures of the Michigan GOP and the governor's office is not having any type of ethnic or minority press release. And we have the leaders. We just did a 5-state empowerment tour there, and the GOP didn't support it. So what do you say? Now they're saying unity, everybody jump on board, but you were not supporting the very thing that could have helped us through this mess. I was talking with Democrats, ask Dave Ijima. In fact, he put out a statement on his page with Democrat council members and Dave Ijima. It was like never before. I've never got these people around Dave Ijima. Like, I mean, it was seriously something to really look at because you had a chance to see people that were totally different, sit down and agree and disagree in some things. But they were able to sit down and come to a compromise on things. Now, why couldn't I have done that? If this administration meant well, why couldn't I have did this already? I think we could have made a lot of forward movement. I mean, even when you look at Bill Schuette, who is seen to be overreaching with the Todd and Cindy situation and the pig situation with farmers. And you have so many different issues where they don't even feel like Bill Schuette can even objectively go over and investigate this thing in Flint. Now, I'm just giving you the state of politics right now and what's going on. And how do you really claim that? How can you say, I'll support that and I'll represent that when, you know, we can't even hit the ground in unity and support the right principles and the right cause. I mean, that's an issue.
Darwin Giles, he's the ethnic vice chair of the Michigan Republican Party. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for this week's edition of MERS Monday. Thanks to John, Abigail, Lauren, and Darwin Giles for visiting us. Speaking of the Board of Water and Light, are they finally going to fix that light pole that blew over after that windstorm?
Oh boy.
Wow, look at that. For our listeners' benefit, we have a light pole that borders our property with a dentist's office, and the wind blew it over in pretty spectacular fashion during that windstorm last week, and the Board of Water and Light's finally gotten to pick that light pole up after 2 or 3 days. And now they're back, maybe putting in a new one that won't fall over.
Hopefully not. I mean, you called that 4 hours before it happened. You said, wow, that's shaking. That's going to come down. And it did.
Yeah, but I could tell by the trajectory it wasn't going to go on my car, so I didn't call on
you. Don't worry about it.
and to be clear, I didn't see it going on anyone else's car because the dentist, everybody was parking in the back, so it wasn't going to fall on anyone's car. It was just going to fall harmlessly in the parking lot, which it did, with a big kaboom. I'm Kyle Mullen. Until next week, take care.